WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Spock with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Fire still actually burning. We'll talk about it here in a minute. It's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. It gives you an ad-free experience when you're watching twitch.tv/WTR Live. You can also use Kirk at Rockstar.Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store because we're hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. We are not joined by one Keishi Matsunaga, even though he's been here on a Thursday and a Saturday. Sunday, not so much. But we do have the intern, Kane Kittens. We do have the intern, Kane Kittens? Maybe not. Maybe not?
No, I was muted.
There you go.
I was hard muted on the thing. No, we do not have a Keishi. He's teaching kids how to play the baseball.
Which is weird. They teach baseball in Canada? Who knew?
I mean, there's one team up in Canada left, I think. Toronto.
Toronto, yeah. But making his grand return, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio. We are entering our 19th year on the internet.
Oh, and, God.
Yeah, my voice sounds weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I am getting over a massive bout of health issues.
Yeah, we mentioned last week you were sick, so here you are, you're back.
Yeah, I'm not sick anymore, but somebody forgot to tell my voice.
Yeah, it's usually the last thing to come back is the voice when you're sick.
And so I'm working on that, and so for the time we're going to be on tonight, you're going to hear me sounding like this, you know, and then next Sunday, I'm going to be probably back to my normal self.
Well, okay, that's good. We'll make it through this week. We'll make it through.
We will eke by.
So, the big story of the week, CM Punk likes wrestling still and wants to come back again, Brent. It's the never-ending saga with CM Punk. Oh my goodness. 1 week he's out. 1 week he's back in. He loves wrestling. He loves the fans, Brent.
Well, he hates the locker room, especially some people in the locker room. But he loves the fans. He loves wrestling. And I think he especially loves the money.
What? No. No, it's not about the money.
No, it would never be.
always about the money.
No, it's that's a lie. It's never about the money. It's about performing in front of the people for the fans. That's all it's about. He misses the fans.
It's about doing it for The Rock.
Could somebody please just blackball this son of a bitch already?
But, Tim, didn't you know wrestling is so much better with CM Punk in it?
Only for the CM Punk marks.
But they love them some CM Punk. Ratings are going
to
go up.
It makes no sense to me at all whatsoever.
Man, they won't tune in unless he's on. We've seen the results.
But he brought in 1.4 million people on a Friday night at one time.
Woo.
And now they're averaging 400,000 for that Friday. So, you know, putting them on a Saturday at 8 o'clock, that's going to make everything better, right?
No. Saturday is going to... The funny thing is, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Saturday, it's going to be great. It's going to be old school wrestling. Then they're going to remember, holy shit, college football.
You're going to
watch those ratings tank. During those fall months.
Or once a month when a WWE Premium live event airs.
I said this last night when you brought this up, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes up against a Premium live event, you're going to have the homerest of homers finding any excuse they can of being like, oh, look, TV beat a Premium live event. This is so much better. No. Just no. The reason you're doing a Saturday thing is so that you can keep this asshole away from everyone in the locker room who he pissed off for the past 8 months.
Which is, you know, they're doing what they're calling a soft brand split. I think that's the pitch that's being thrown around by people.
So here's the thing. If they do a quote-unquote brand split, does that mean we get to ridicule the fuck out of them anytime someone crosses brands?
God no, because they're never going to call it an official brand split. Brand, you know this, they're not going to be WWE and hold a draft.
No, you mean they're not going to, you know, give Ring of Honor their own TV show and then let the people go to work that and not have to worry about them stealing spots and fitting in other places?
Oh, imagine if that happened though. Imagine. Oh, just
all the Ring of Honor people worked Ring of Honor?
Yeah. Imagine. Just them only working Ring of Honor. What kind of storylines AEW would have currently? Blackpool Combat Club. I mean, what?
Yeah. Well, that's only one person, though.
Two. Two.
No. Wheeler dropped the belt.
But he's still Ring of Honor.
I guess technically. But yeah, the women's champion, you won't see her on AEW TV at all.
But she's on Dark, or Dark Elevation.
But then again, you only get one women's match on AEW per week anyway. They've got a fantastic division, though.
At like 9:20, 9:30 Eastern every week. Like clockwork, you can tell when the women's segment is.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine, Brent, imagine this. You have them wearing their Dynamite t-shirts, and the group wearing their, Collision team shirts? Come on, it's going to be so cool when they do it. I mean, everyone's going to want to wear that Collision shirt.
Sounds messy to me.
Imagine if one's red and one's blue, like the color of the ropes now. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
You know it would be never mind.
Say it. No, now you got to say it.
No, it just jumped from my head, honestly.
Okay. Because if it went through your head, you have to say it.
No, you know me. If it was something, I would actually say it. But it just like fluttered away for a second.
But color,
if it comes back, I'll let you know.
Color t-shirts. What happens to Rampage if they go three brand? Does Rampage where they do
that? I remember what it is now.
Okay. Collision is
not a second brand. It's not a lesser brand. It's just equal to, like, you know, the TNT title, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean that, like, the TNT title will get defended on that Sunday show? And yeah, honestly, what happens to Rampage?
Is that
Does it just become Superstars?
Isn't it already Superstars?
Oh, it absolutely... What was the What was the main event, like, last week? It was Jungle Boy versus someone, and I remember telling you, like...
Sean Spears, it was the other night.
Thank you! Jungle Boy and Sean Spears, and my first thought when I saw that was, wow... That is not even close to, like, a TV main event.
No.
Even on, like, Shotgun Saturday Night, that's not a TV main event.
Velocity, though, that would kick ass.
God, Velocity.
Oh, Afterburn. How about Afterburn, huh? Uh-huh, uh-huh. But anyway, going back to CM Punk himself, is he really worth the headache to do all this that we just talked about?
No.
Why not?
Plain and simple, no. Because here's the thing. CM Punk, for the two or three months, or, you know, for the couple of months that he'll be coming back, sure, you'll get a ratings pop. But all it is one, like Tim talked about, the CM Punk mark. The guy that wants to just tune in just for Punk. They really don't give a shit about anything else. And we saw it whenever Punk was in the ring for AEW. People would tune in for his segment and then tune the hell out. Did it pop the overall rating? Yeah. But in the end, did it really help your overall product? Not really. But the question becomes with Punk, he's done it twice now. He took his ball and went home with the WWE when things weren't going his way. And I understand there was health issues. I understand there was other stuff. But a lot of his big qualms was the fact that he wasn't being put in the main event as champion. And so he got really cantankerous about it. And then I think the medical issues is what gave him the platform to be able to leave righteously. With AEW, he just blew it up from the inside.
And he just so happened to be hurt to be out this last 8 months.
Yeah, but for the grand scheme of things, he did it himself. He went into business for himself when Adam Page refused to take his, not criticism, what am I trying to say? His help.
Mm-hmm. Advice.
His advice. And when Adam decided to say something in a promo that upset Punk, what did Punk do? He went completely off script, buried him when he knew that Page couldn't come out to retort. And then after, you know, he drops the title in a squash and then wins it at the pay-per-view to look, you know, like the conquering hero, he goes on a diatribe that made him look bad, made his boss look bad, and precipitated a fight that got 5 to 6 people in trouble.
He's a bit of a narcissist.
Oh, definitely. And my question about all this is, how long until it happens again? Because we've seen it twice. We know that Punk, when he's not happy, will let it be known and will just do what he wants. So how long before he goes into business for himself again and causes issues? Because it will happen.
This is a terrible thing for me to put voice to. And it's a terrible voice for me to use to put this out there. There's only one reason why I would want to see CM Punk come back. And that's for him to be given receipts in his first match back. To have his opponent go into business for himself, if you will.
Is that really what's best for, you know, pardon the pun, for business?
I don't know if it'd be best for business, but it would sure liven things up. And it's hard to say he doesn't deserve it.
Does CM Punk owe the locker room an apology?
Oh, hell yes.
The locker room owes him the Miz treatment.
Why do they owe him that? Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you put him out of the locker room. Yeah, I get that.
Kick his ass out of the locker room, make him find a closet to go and change in, whatever. He needs to re-earn the privilege of being in there with the gang.
I don't think he was ever in
there. He really does.
I really don't think he was ever in the locker room with them. I think he had his own.
Probably changed and lived in a bus.
Let's be real. But I get your point. Mm-hmm. He has to earn his right to be part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But that depends on which group he's out of favor with, because there is probably a contingent in that locker room who are very pro CM Punk. We're looking at UFTR, who would happily welcome him back to the company and bring him back with, you know, all arms open, ready to do business. And then there's the other side of the Jerichos and the Elite, apparently, who probably may not want to have him back.
And that's why they will continue working Wednesday as opposed to Saturday. Or they just won't be around after a little while when their contracts are up.
You mentioned Saturday, and we've talked about it in just before, but the seriousness of it, they will have big competition on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Between WWE's once a month, you got football in the fall with college football. You have college basketball on. baseball, basketball during at all times, hockey even. And then there's the competitor UFC, who's what, 3 times a month on Saturdays?
That's fairly frequently.
That's a bad slot for them.
But Rock, it's the old school, probably at 6:05 Eastern.
No, they're going 8 o'clock.
Oh.
I thought they were going to... No, they're not. No, that's earlier evening. You can get away with not having competition. No, they're going prime time, apparently.
Oh, God.
8 to 10.
And we've seen...
Yeah.
And we've seen how Battle of the Belts used to do with that. That's why they moved Battle of the Belts to be the second hour of Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it was placed on its own on a Saturday, and they stocked it with whatever they thought was matches... People were like, I'm not tuning in for that shit.
No. But that whole old school approach, everyone talks about it's old school. That's 30 years ago.
Yeah, back when, I mean, don't get me wrong, people still love their football back then, but it's not the entity of ESPN and, you know, their primetime game of the week.
Yeah, but the old school wrestling at 6:05 was 30 years ago. When you had, what, 15, 20, 30, 40 cable channels? Now, how many do you have? 400? It doesn't seem like it's a smart business move. Plus, you got how many now hours of AEW content if you watch everything? 2 on Wednesday, 1 hour Friday, 2 hours on a Saturday. Now you're at WWE level, plus the 2 hours they do for Dark and Dark Elevation. So now you're plus 2 on WWE. Technically, Ring of Honor is an AEW brand, and I don't know how long that show goes, and I don't know how many people are actually watching it, but that's more, it's another hour at least of content. Maybe two. That's a lot to digest for just if you watch one company. Imagine watching both. That's a lot. I think that would enter oversaturation, I think. Maybe I'm the only one.
No, people complained when Raw went to 3 hours, because the whole idea was, you know, oh, if you can compact it into two, it keeps people wanting more. Well, like you just said, you have Dynamite, you have Rampage, you have Ring of Honor, you have Battle of the Belts that happens all the time. You're now going to have this extra 2 hour show. You're also going to have these quote unquote special Dynamite shows like they normally do. Fighter Fest, Winter is Coming,
etc.
And the pay-per-views.
Which this now guarantees AEW pay-per-views will be on Sundays.
Yeah, it's going to have to be unless...
Which everyone clamored with them to do Saturdays, and now they're going to move back to Sundays full-time.
Well, and then, as you also mentioned, there's still 2 to 3 hours, sometimes maybe more, of internet content with Dark and Dark Elevation.
Yeah.
Which is just filler. I mean, essentially it's just glorified house show shit, but... At the same time, it's still a lot of wrestling content. And we had talked before about, man, if you're an AEW person, the whole expectation is you watch everything. And you know what happened on Dark. You know what happened on Elevation. You know what happens on Being the Elite. Because you have to get all of these little references that they make on TV that is just a very, very, very subtle, you know, poke at whatever happened. You know, oh, this match is happening because someone walked through Adam Cole's promo on, or, you know, like his skit on Being the Elite. I'm not saying that actually happened, but it's something that would actually...
It's something that feasibly happened.
That would feasibly happen. But for 80% of your audience, in my opinion, you're going to go, shit, I have to watch this stupid web show 30 minutes every week? Just to be able to get the reference of, or, you know, Adam Cole is fighting this person because they walked through a camera shot? Hell no. And you're going to have a whole bunch of other things because, you know, who's the girl that they just saw? Sky Blue. Sky Blue has appeared on some TV. Right, Rock?
Yeah, she's been around.
She's been around. She finally got her All Elite contract. Did you hear how many matches she's wrestled for the company?
No.
It's like 50 to 60 at least.
Before she officially became All Elite?
Before she was officially All Elite, and a bunch of those were probably Dark and Dark Elevation.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still this fact of, like, you may have seen her 2 or 3 times, and then it's like, okay, she got her big contract. She's been wrestling for them for, like, over a year, year and a half now. But unless you're fully, fully invested, you have no, like, real depth of what she has done.
And to be honest, I thought she was part of the company the entire time.
Right. It, you know, But now, that's the other thing that really bugs me about this, is like, in the WWE, when you have someone that's featured on TV, I mean, if they're a jobber, then you know it's like, okay, they're a local talent, they're being used for a night. But if they're getting any form of like, okay, they're past a week appearance, they're contracted by the company.
Mm-hmm.
With AEW, they've got this weird thing where it's just like, oh yeah, like Action Andretti, he's probably been with us for 6 months, but now we're finally going to use him, and oh, guess what? Now he's all elite. What? What's this tiered contract bullshit that they've been running? It just doesn't make sense.
Tim won't be able to answer this, but you will be. So, you move CM Punk to Saturdays. You take, I guess, FTR with them. Who else do you put on this show to, like, split the roster? Who do you move over to be a part of the CM Punk show? Because you're already splitting talent to go to ROH. Now you gotta split it another time to bring them to soft split them over to Saturdays. Does your world champion not go to set work Saturdays? Does he only work Wednesdays? Because he had a problem with Punk too. Or Punk had a problem with him and they didn't want to work with him anymore. Or something like that.
That would imply that MJF is actually going to wrestle.
But it's not even wrestling. It's just appearing on the television show.
Right. No, and yeah, it becomes that idea of, well, here's the real kicker. And you're going to see this in terms of ticket sales and everything. If you are going to do a quote-unquote split, it doesn't even have to be a hard split, but if it's enough of a split where you know that it's FTR, Punk, and maybe one or two other names on Saturday, does that mean that you're only going to get a good portion of your audience who are going to want to go to the Saturday show because all they want is Punk and FTR, etc.?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to see a drop in the fact of, okay, on the Wednesday show, you've got Kenny, the Bucks, Adam Cole, maybe, because, you know, they're all tight. You know, I think you can throw the Hardys over on Saturday, which right now is making it very former WWE heavy.
Yeah, it is. you're really just moving that whole WWE faction over. So there you go.
But I mean, honestly, it's like that what you do. And the other thing is if you split the rosters, does it really give people time to be featured? Or are you just going to use the same top tier guys against maybe nobodies? And you're still going to have people like a Miro who can't even see TV.
And that's the big question, because now you have people who aren't featured on the regular. You have Miro, Andrade, Lance Archer, just to name three people off the top of your head who do not get featured on this program that everyone and really wants, that they made a big deal out of.
I've got another one, and I know it's mostly travel issues, but where's Pac been?
It's a good question. I don't know how you have travel issues anymore, unless it's a visa issue, and that should have been cleared up a long time ago for him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just doesn't want to come over.
Well, because if you notice, he does these stints where it's like he's here for a few months and then he disappears for like 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back. I mean, he's got like the Randy Orton deal, but at the same time, it's like, what does that do with people like Death Triangle?
Who are now ROH.
Yeah, who are now the ROH tag team champions. And all this intermingling is just, you can't keep it straight.
No, you really can't. And that's the hard part about it. You're in a tricky situation if you're Tony Khan. Now you gotta make sure, you gotta check everyone's ego at the door at this point and sort of figure it all out, because the fact that you have to create a separate show to keep everyone happy should probably concern you as a booker and owner, Tim.
Well, it's, you know, the thing gets tricky when you have too much talent and only a certain amount of airtime.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get pissed off.
Very much.
But what are you going to do?
Create more content. Create different spaces, I guess. But that locker,
there's only so much available that you can create that will be picked up and distributed.
And if you are, and this is how WWE had to look at it, because now you got to split your, if you were doing a soft split, a hard split, whatever you want to call it, in terms of splitting up talent, now you can't, you got to make sure, hey, Dynamite and Collision have the same type of star power.
Mm-hmm.
To make both networks happy. Because every 3 months, Tony Khan goes on the media calls, I listen to them all. Yeah, we're going to bring our top stars to Rampage. After he says it, he does it 1 week, and then it's back to, what was the main event this week, Brent?
Jungle Boy taking on Sean Spears.
Sean Spears, who hasn't been on television in how many months?
You know, hey, he just had a kid.
He had a kid. And then before, so he was pregnant for 9 months, had the kid, and then got back on TV. He dropped the baby weight, right? That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. He was the one carrying said child. Because that's how it feels like he's been gone for the entire pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one carrying.
He totally was doing it.
He was giving birth.
He was carrying it.
Yeah. I don't know. Just doesn't feel like Punk's worth it.
No, he's absolutely not worth it. And the second that people had brought up the fact of, you know, I saw the story from Sean Ross Sapp, and I messaged you and was just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's just, no, if we bring him in, it's going to be, you know, this high, you know, everyone's going to tune in just to see Punk back. And here's the biggest thing for me. Hey, Rock, what was announced the week before, a week ago? What was the big major announcement from Tony Khan?
An actual big announcement. They're heading to Wembley Stadium this summer.
For the first AEW All In.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to sell 45,000 tickets.
If not
in
more.
Wembley Stadium.
Because they have 45,000 register signups. That doesn't mean 45,000 people are buying tickets. It's just signups to get it on the list.
Or people will buy tickets and try and scalp them.
Yeah.
Therefore, it'll be empty.
That's why they have multiple accounts and multiple people signing up. So they can buy as many tickets and then second and third, fourth party them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's 1 week before the actual other pay-per-view All Out.
Yes.
So everyone is talking about the fact that they want to see this big match that's the whole thing of this angle. They want to see
this Hold on. This angle? Are you calling this whole thing an angle?
I'm going with what people are saying. So.
How is it an angle, though? Where on television is it an angle? But continue.
They'll turn it into an angle.
Which we'll get to, but go.
But everyone is saying the headline match for that, the thing that everyone wants to see is Punk and FTR taking on the Elite. Because you can turn reality into storyline.
That's what FTR is putting out there. It's disregarding whatever they're building on television with the BCC and the Elite. Disregard all that.
That's my big thing is, you're going to put, because you want to have the big match at Wembley and everything. This was my biggest problem when they announced All In. We're going to do a pay-per-view followed by a pay-per-view the very next week. If you feature the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega in your main event of this, and let's say for All Out, your big storyline on TV has been what, Rock? You just said it.
The Elite versus the BCC.
Probably in something like Anarchy in the Arena or Blood and Guts.
We talked about last week.
Yeah. You are begging for an injury that is going to derail your second pay-per-view.
Yes.
If you put them in the first.
Yep.
Because the thing is we've already seen Punk is liable to get injured himself.
Just walking to the ring. Because that's how he got hurt. He jumped
into the crowd.
He jumped into the crowd and got hurt and was out for the summer.
But let's say, well, technically you might be able to get, you're probably going to do BCC versus the Elite for Double or Nothing.
Are you sure? You sure about that? I don't know. Because I think you can extend that, but go on.
But let's say you don't and you try and break it up because you want to really get this pay-per-view off the ground. If you have them all fight, Punk can get hurt, and then your Elite, any member of them could get roughed up, especially because Matt and Nick Jackson are both working through injuries. Matt really much so, considering that, what, a week ago he had a brace on?
Yeah, he had a brace on this week. He should not be out there.
But you've gotta get that storyline going. So, yeah, if any of them get any kind of injury, you have now screwed your other pay-per-view, because I know you had said before, you're like, oh, well, you can do, like, Kenny versus Daniel Bryan instead at All Out. Yeah, Kenny pulls a hammy. That main event match that you really wanted to have is gone, and you've now wasted a bunch of tickets.
And you gotta put Punk out there. If Punk's come back, what's bigger? Do you do Punk at the United Center or Punk in the UK? What's bigger for your fan base?
I feel like you've gotta put him out there for Wembley, but the problem is, like you said, you gotta also roll them out for Chicago. But is Punk gonna be able to work two big matches back to back? And who's gonna want to work with him in the States? Because I don't know if the Elite and the Bucks really, I don't know if the Elite really want to work with him. I think they just realize, like, if he's coming back, there's money in this. We'll bite the bullet and do it. But I don't think it's going to be one of those, oh, yeah, we're going to put you in a program with him. Because they'll probably go, oh, shit.
Do you do XWA Females versus AEW Original Females in Anarchy in Arena on one pay-per-view and the BCC versus the Elite in the other?
Don't do two Anarchy in the Arenas on back-to-back pay-per-views because you'll kill the specialty of that match. Besides, when it comes to, if we want to talk about the females, because someone just brought this up in the chat.
Someone.
Who, well, I didn't see who it was.
Yeah.
Who are the outcasts truly fighting right now? I know it's, you know, the quote unquote AEW originals as a whole, but what is the real payoff for that? Is it facing Britt Baker and Jamie? And if so, then why has the build this entire time been Riho and Willow and whoever else they've been throwing in there?
It's an interesting scenario. Someone named Wacko Ninja brings up, I think they may be willing to do business at some point, at business to a point, because FTR and the Elite were supposed to fight and then they weren't, and then, you know, here we are. Whoever this Wacko Ninja, he should be on a wrestling podcast talking about his opinions or something. The injury that Britt they're talking about with her back was stuff from back in Full Gear?
Well, why don't you ask the Wacko Ninja?
Hey, look who it may be. It's one Keishi Matsunaga.
I mean, I asked if I should jump on, just nobody responded, so I thought I'd.
Yeah,
jump
I don't. Chat. I don't get alerts because I'm on stream mode, so I didn't see that. Sorry.
That's why I went into the chat.
There you go.
I like to cover my bases.
Speaking of which, how was baseball?
It was good. I don't know, cool. Like herding cats because they're all young children.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the two Americans on this podcast were kind of surprised that you were doing baseball in Canada.
What? Why?
Because we were Americans.
We were making a baseball joke about Canada. That's all.
We were making the joke that Canada has one team.
Yeah, that's really basically what we were doing.
And it beat Team USA.
Congrats to them. So, Cage, what are your thoughts on this whole CM Punk splitting up the roster and all, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, obviously, we kind of have to wait and see what happens if that's the actual case. Because, you know, internet rumors are just that. I guess if that's what they need to do in order for Punk and the Elite to coexist and it's good for business, then fine. I know Kenny Omega on Renee's podcast said at one point that he's like, listen, we're all adults. And I think all of us regret what happened. And so I'm sure on some level, he's at least willing to, you know, put things behind him and move forward.
Or he was being diplomatic.
One way or another, at least, I mean, if you're going to put something like that out publicly, then you have, I would assume, on some level, that you'd have to be willing to put things behind you and let it go. But, I mean, no one will ever know until whatever legal proceedings are finished. I'm assuming if Punk's coming back, that's all been resolved one way or another. So, I mean, Punk is good for business, as you can see on the internet.
That's what the internet tells me. It's better with him.
Egos and behind closed doors battles aside. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you can have him at the Wembley Stadium pay-per-view, that's probably good. Cause I mean, look at how much business he did for the United States when he hadn't been back, when he hadn't wrestled in what, 7 years or whatever. It's even longer in the UK. So I'm sure there are a lot of CM Punk fans that will be clamoring to get tickets if they can kind of get that all squared up and be like, hey, Punk's coming to Wembley. So, and then as far as the egos thing, only time will tell when that all goes down in a fiery blaze of glory.
Are you looking forward to watching another AEW show?
I'm okay with them. Like, I mean, I'm not a polarizing wrestling fan. And so I watch everything. I'll be fine with it. If I have my kid that weekend, I'm sure we'll be watching. It'll be give us something to do.
If there's a wrestling broadcast, Casey's watching it, period.
More or less, yeah. So, I don't know. For me, more wrestling is better. All the behind-the-scenes stuff, I leave to the internet.
Speaking of behind-the-scenes stuff, our other topic of the evening, Drew McIntyre's gone dark on the Twitters. What's going on with Drew, Brent?
Well, I mean, if the internet is to be believed, he's completely disgruntled. He doesn't like the way creative's going. He doesn't like the way that possibly the company as a whole is going. He wants more money. They're far apart on it. You know, he's possibly looking to get away. He hasn't re-signed a new contract, even though he's actually come out and said he doesn't renegotiate until like the very end, which is a very smart business move. Did I forget anything about that, Rock?
No, you're good. You got it all covered.
You're pretty much covering the bases there, Brent.
Well, it's just like, look, there's a couple of, and I mean, people are also latching on to the whole, you know, oh my God, Seth Rollins wasn't at Raw this past week, and he had that blow up during commercial when a production guy was telling him supposedly something.
Half the roster wasn't at Raw this week.
Even though Seth Rollins is advertised to be on tomorrow night.
He's fighting The Miz.
Oh, he's fighting The Miz.
The Miz. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just this idea of, like, you know, anytime a guy is not immediately re-signing, especially with the WWE, it is, they're disgruntled, they're looking to jump ship, who doesn't blame them, they're totally misusing him, all of that kind of stuff. We saw it with Kevin, when Kevin's contract was supposedly coming up, and Kevin, of course, being the absolute troll that he is, was doing the whole Mount Rushmore thing and all of that, which, by the way, is a great business move because it shows, hey, I have options, and it makes the company have to fork out a little bit more than they probably want to ensure that you're going to return. That being said, I think Kevin's doing pretty good for himself right now.
So WrestleMania in a row, I think he's doing all right.
Yeah, since he got that contract, two main events for WrestleMania, been featured in predominant storylines, is now a champion in the company. Yeah, I think he's doing good.
He wrestled a guy named Stone Cold Steve Austin, who hasn't wrestled in how many years? 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's all right. I think they trust Kevin. But here's here's an actual question. Should they re-sign Drew McIntyre?
I'd say yes.
I have a theory about his Twitter.
What's the theory?
I mean, if anybody paid attention to social media after WrestleMania, there was a picture of him and Sheamus bumping bracers, fists sort of deal. So my guess is him and Sheamus just went out one night after to celebrate being buddies, and he just blacked out and is very reflective on his Twitter.
Okay.
Because that is much more interesting than bitching and complaining about people being unhappy with their company.
People that are not associated with that company bitching and moaning about a guy being unhappy with this company.
I thought social media was supposed to be entertaining, and telling people that someone has changed their picture to black is because they're not happy and not something less fun sucks. Be more fun, people. Theorize more fun things.
People don't know how to have fun on Twitter anymore. It sucks.
Maybe Drew McIntyre, just all of the light bulbs in his house are out, and he just can't see where he's going. Maybe someone needs to send Drew McIntyre some light bulbs. Come on, guys.
Tweet at Drew McIntyre light bulbs. Yeah.
Just turn the lights on, Drew. Everything will be fine.
Or is it precipitating a possible heel turn, you know, going dark? Hmm?
I mean, that's another theory.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was getting a little bit more emotional going into WrestleMania.
But on the whole going dark thing, it's like, well, just he's just playing into the speculation at this point of, hey, my contract, people are talking about me. You know how you shouldn't react? You shouldn't turn everything black. You should just be normal and just don't tweet. And then people won't be, you know, all up in your business.
Well, or if you really want to get people going and screw around with them, just put like a picture of a spinning tire on there.
Going dark is kind of old news at this point. It's just, oh yeah, he just went dark. Everyone's talking now. He's just not tweeting. So haha. Guess what? He changed his profile picture back. He's back to being himself. Oh my goodness. People will get more clickbait out of it. I don't know. Hopefully they come to some conclusion and he's back soon. Supposedly he won't be back for a few weeks.
Well, and here's the other thing is, maybe this has just been a planned vacation for him.
Yep.
Maybe it's just, because don't forget, during the pandemic, he was the workhorse.
He's also injured
a lot lately.
Yeah, he had the flu.
No,
or
it's
COVID or whatever.
No, it's his neck. His neck is
well.
He may have what Sheamus has.
I can understand that considering the way he throws that headbutt. Mm-hmm. I could absolutely see him be like, yeah, I'm kind of roughed up a little bit, guys.
Because he's missed shows and stuff because of his neck and stuff. It's getting to a point where he may at some point have to get the surgery or get treatment like Sheamus did and stuff like that, because it could get really bad for him.
Well, and also, how long has Drew been wrestling? Because remember, we dealt with, an 18, 19-year-old Drew McIntyre back in the day?
He's in, 20 years now? 18, 19,
so,
20 years?
So he's had a go of it, and he had those stints on the indies, and when he was let go of the WWE, and it was like, okay, he's going to go find his way in Europe and in Impact and establish himself again, and then was brought back through NXT and back onto the main roster. And like I said, during the pandemic, he was the champ. He was the champion. He was the one that carried this until they brought the fans back. And then it was, okay, they decided they were going to transition to a couple of other people. Maybe this is just the chance, like you said, rest him a little bit. Give him a chance to just breathe and relax and, recoup.
Yeah, and what better time to do it than, right after WrestleMania, when everything's being, reestablished. You'd be like, whoa, guys, just let me rest for a little bit. You don't have to put me in a storyline. It's okay. I don't mind. My neck hurts.
Yeah, and I mean, he's over with the fans already, but if you take him off of TV for a little while and you bring him back, you get that big reaction of, Drew's back!
And you probably don't need him for Puerto Rico. You probably don't need him for Saudi. Probably need him for the UK show, though.
Yeah, bring him out for Money in the Bank.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with a high-profile wrestler being given, 3 weeks off.
Or 6 weeks off, or if you're Miro,
or
about
six,
2 years.
Or eight.
Or if you're Miro, a year so far.
I mean, no. he's doing other stuff. It's not like he's just sitting at home with his super hot flexible wife.
Weird flex, but okay.
Pun intended with that?
I don't know. It's just what he's, yeah.
Anyway.
Anybody who says CJ Perry isn't hot is blind or gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, yeah, but even if they're gay, they would still admit if she was attractive or not.
I know gay people who look at people like CJ Perry and say, yeah, she's hot. If I wasn't, I would.
So Drew should be back soon, maybe, hopefully.
And honestly, having him as a top-tier face or heel on your roster is a pretty good thing. He's a good worker. He gets good reaction.
He puts butts in seats. He does.
Right. If he's a face, people will rally behind him. If he decides that he wants to go heel, I think people will still be invested because of the way that he carries himself having come back.
Well, I still say he should be the guy to finally knock Roman off.
I don't know. I don't think he should. I think that time passed for Drew to beat Roman.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it has.
I don't think if you were
going to do it with Drew, you should have done it at Clash. That was the hot crowd. That was the. It's the same thing with Sammy. If you were going to do it with Sammy, Montreal was the crowd.
I'm scared they may take the titles off of Sammy and Kevin because Sammy can't go to Saudi. Then you just don't book a tag team title match for Saudi.
Yeah.
You don't.
It's not mandatory.
It's not mandatory to book a title match on every pay per view.
I know the pay per view is called Clash of Champions or Night of Champions or whatever. That doesn't mean that. It just means every match is a championship match. Not every match. Not every championship has to be defended.
Or it could be, setting up number one contenders for championships or something. As long as, champions are focused.
And we've seen with WWE pay-per-views, the name doesn't really matter what the theme is.
True.
Because they all change pretty much every time. But yeah, I expect Sammy and Kevin to drop the belts in 2 weeks.
Well, that's the rumors that they're dropping it back to the Usos, right?
So that's the talk. I kind of see it, and that's fine. It doesn't hurt. It's not hurting. Oh, it's not hurting them. They did what they needed to do. They paid off a storyline. They taught where the titles needed to change, and if they want to change the titles back, so be it. Or Kevin and Sammy keep them. That's 2 weeks from now.
Nothing wrong with Sammy and Kevin moving forward as champions. And honestly, the Usos are, as we've seen, are good hands to be able to hold those titles.
They are good for, what they say, business. It's champions. They don't hurt your business when they're holding them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. And I think that's a good stopping point for us. Tim has a shoddy voice, so now it's pretty good.
It works.
Yeah, that'll work. My voice is pretty much just about done by now already, so.
So there you go. Next
As
week.
You can tell I'm sounding worse now than I did when we started an hour ago.
Indeed. Next week, what wrestlers do you think should switch brands? We'll talk about it next Sunday on WTR Sunday Night.
Put this guy over there, put that guy over here, and then take this guy and bring him up and put him here. But you have to put that guy over there to make room.
Exactly.
That means homework.
You have homework. They have homework. So hopefully, in a week, they'll finish their homework. But that's not the only thing we're doing this week. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk Raw. Probably not the way we normally do it. But it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rack is still off the air until the 4th of May. Maybe we'll play Fortnite again. It all depends on how invested in the playoff game I am. So, tune in to find out. We'll be back Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern for Fortnite with Friends, followed by CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next... What?
So are you saying you're going to try and trust the process?
We're trying.
Next Hope springs eternal.
Next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Were you showing interest in the playoffs?
Yeah, basketball, not hockey. Basketball. We're talking hoops.
Basketball sucks.
We're talking hoops. We're not talking the thing with the puck.
Hoops suck.
No Leafs.
We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday Night on the Facebooks and the Twitters. Tim is on the Twitter machine at...
Flames Forums.
He talks hockey and stuff there.
Not just hockey, but stuff.
I said stuff.
Yeah, but you make it sound like that's my hockey account. I don't have a hockey account. I have an account where I talk about hockey and other stuff.
Buy his merch, steinsdesigns.redbubble.com. Is that the right plug for that one?
That was very well done. But, of course, it's not as good as Keish's.
Keish, you're on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Usually
Kyle.
It's just retweeting things about wrestling in my area. But, hey. I also have a link to my Redbubble page in the descriptions of both of those. So if you feel like taking a peruse, I'd be very appreciative.
Redbubble.
Sure.
Just don't call it RedTube.
No. I'm not on there. You're welcome.
Brent.
Yes, thank you.
Brent, follow that.
Well... The only place you can find me is on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can follow my diatribes as I come up with things to tweet about there. Also, you can find me on Saturday nights on CB Radio at the Interns Corner, where I share some knowledge. We try to guess celebrity ages, and you get to learn a little bit about movies, which is one of the things I am really, really nerdy about.
Indeed.
He does a very good job.
He does. But this has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio. We'll see you next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 Mountain, live across the airwaves, the Wild Talk Radio Network.